Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Anthem of the Adventurer. I'm your host, Dan Zahner, and today, if you have little ears in the car, now would be the time to turn this episode off. We're going to be talking about a fairly sensitive topic, so I'm going to give you a few seconds here to hit your nearest volume button or put on some headphones if you're at work, and then we can get into what we're going to talk about. So here's a few seconds for you to scramble to your nearest way to turn this off and listen to something else for a bit before we get into our topic for the day. So here you go. Here's your time. Okay. So now that you are efficiently prepared, today we're talking about porn and how to recover from an addiction to it. There are some staggering statistics around this particular type of addiction that have destroyed marriages, careers, lives in general. Pastors.com did a survey and it said about 54%, not about that, 54% of pastors say they viewed it in the last year. Another survey from the Barner Group showed 64% of Christian men were consuming it monthly, and roughly equivalent to 65% of non-Christian men monthly. One of the most alarming statistics related to the church's future are a study in 2019 from the Freedom Fight of Christian college students who say their faith is very important to them. And 89% of these college men involved in collegiate ministries say they watch it. 63% of this group watch it at least weekly, and 51% of those future Christian leaders say they're addicted to it. And here's the catch. Only 7% of churches say they have the resources to assist their members with this addiction. So we're talking about countless pastors, church leaders, and Christian in general are under this shame of their struggle. And with skyrocketing numbers of teen addictions, the next generation will be plagued with the underlying effects on an even larger scale. If the church doesn't equip their people to address this pandemic with real solutions, the results will be catastrophic. There is hope, though. While the brain locks people into addiction through repeated use and larger dopamine rushes, the brain is capable of change. So today we're talking with Ted Schimmer, who's the founder of the Freedom Fight, and his organization has developed a gospel-centered, scientifically informed, biblical approach to help those addicted completely recover. And so they're providing a free program that can be used by individuals, small groups, and churches, and has an accompanying book along with it called The Freedom Fight, The New Drug and the Truth That Set Us Free, where he explores the destructive nature of this and its six root factors. And he shares practical methods to overcome it through biblical and science-based solutions that lead to genuine freedom. Now, Ted has mentored young adults for nearly three decades with the Collegiate Ministry Student Mobilization. He's received his MABS from Dallas Seminary and is trained as a pastoral sex addiction professional supervisor. With his discipleship background, theological instruction, and world-class clinical training gives him a unique and grounded approach to addiction recovery that's biblically based, scientifically grounded and sound, gospel-centered and effective. And he lives in Fayetteville, Arkansas, with his wife and four children. So usually this would be the part of the episode where I'd introduce some other resources. But honestly, this topic is so important in my own life and the lives of a lot of men that I care about that we're just going to point you to the Freedom Fight. So go to thefreedomfight.com, pick up the book for yourself, download the app, the resources there yourself, and get into a group with some men and get after it. So without any further ado, let's get into our interview with Ted Schimmer of the Freedom Fight.
Cord there. Okay. So I'm going to do a little bit of quick intro here. I'll do a longer recorded one later, but and then we'll get going. Well, welcome to another episode of the Anthem of the Adventurer. I'm really excited to talk with our guests today. We've got Ted Schimmer in from Nashville. And if in case you didn't catch it in the intro already, we're going to be talking about a bit of a sensitive topic today. So if you got little ears, throw some headphones on or if you're in the car with the kiddos, maybe wait till you get home. Because we're going to be talking about some stuff that is adults only, but a really important topic today. So pause here if you got some little ears around, and we'll let you do that. Okay, now that you're paused, you're by yourself. Welcome, Ted. It's good to see you.
Hey, Dan, it's great to be with you, man. I've been looking forward to this.
Yeah, I've been really digging this since we had a little pre-interview chat, and it was funny. I think I mentioned yesterday, like, yeah, your voice sounds really familiar. So our men's group through the Dad Edge Alliance had gone through some of your content together and found it really, really helpful for us. But before we get into all of that, what I'd like to do with our guests is set us up on the right foot with a challenge before we get into the rest of our interview. So what is something that we can do in the next week, those who are listening, to incorporate some more adventure into our lives?
So you're asking me about what we can do to have more adventure?
Yeah.
Man, you know, one thing that comes to mind for me is, one of the things that I enjoy doing is, I don't know if you guys have kids, but I know one of the things that was adventurous for me is asking my kids for feedback. Also asking my wife for feedback. Sometimes us men can live guarded lives where we don't want to hear feedback. We kind of, build the guardrails and to keep keep the negative feedback from coming. But every time I've done that, Dan, it's definitely been an adventure, just kind of, stepping outside of the comfort zone. But it's also been, highly beneficial just for, my interpersonal relationship with either my wife or my kids. And I think it's just kind of, allowed for a whole new level of authenticity just in those relationships. And so, man, that would be one thing I would, challenge men to do. And if there are single guys out there, doing that with a friend, just inviting, it's like, hey, if you're going to give me some feedback of, man, something I could do better, or maybe, an area of my life I need improvement in, hey, I want to welcome feedback. I think that could be, an exciting adventure, could be a humbling adventure.
Yeah.
Man, it's good to be humbled. It's good to get feedback. It's good to kind of open up those channels for vulnerable communication.
That's really a good one. And we don't get quite enough of those kind of emotional adventures. So I really appreciate that. If people are looking for like how to do that feedback well, our partner company, SEAL Team Leaders, actually runs a workshop on how to give and receive effective feedback. So if anybody's wanting some more, like, hey, I have no idea how to do that, look us up and we can help you out there. That's a really worthwhile skill to get in the practice of, because it's not just something that comes naturally for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Love that challenge. And I'm already thinking of some things that I can ask my wife on a long car ride that we've got this afternoon.
Nice.
So in the spirit of kind of scary adventures, your area of expertise is in helping men overcome addiction to pornography, which is huge and extremely important work. So can you tell us a little bit about your background, kind of who you are and what you're about as we dive into this?
Yeah, absolutely. And, I started following Christ right before my senior year in high school, grew up in Arkansas. So when I went to college to play football, as a freshman, I was a brand new Christian, plugged into a campus ministry there and just really started getting, discipled in my faith, met my wife through the ministry. We came on staff in 1991, started working full time with college students. In this discipleship ministry, student mobilization. And, it was interesting, Dan, because in the early to mid 2000s, we started noticing a significant uptick in the number of our student leaders who were struggling with pornography. And not just, at a shallow level, but, being addicted to it. 2004, 2005, 2006, more and more of our student leaders were being sidelined from leadership because of this issue. So much so that in 2007, we identified as a ministry that pornography was the biggest obstacle to us fulfilling our mission of building spiritual leaders for Christ. And so really in 07, that's when as a ministry, we're like, man, we gotta find solutions to this issue and problem. Because to be honest, some of the old solutions weren't working anymore. Like, hey, more accountability, more prayer, hey, more personal disciplines. All of those are important. But we've started recognizing, man, this addiction is going deeper. And we need to, take a deeper dive into this topic, because we recognize if we're trying to disciple men and women and not addressing this issue, then we have a huge hole in our discipleship.
It's a really unfortunate thing. I mean, that you've uncovered a really deep truth here about, not just the church, kind of the body of Christ, but society overall has been pretty just blasted by this addiction. Can you share some stats on this? It's kind of crazy. Some of the things that you were sharing from some of the material I was reading in your bio, it's really prevalent. I mean,
yeah. Well, and it's kind of, there's a couple of major factors. One, just how prevalent it is, but another factor is how the technology has changed the game in pornography. Most people don't realize this, but before 2006, most of the pornography on the internet that was being consumed were photographs. You could get video, but because it was dial-up and took forever, most people were consuming photographs. Well, with high-speed internet, man, that was a game changer, because overnight, then the ability to watch an endless buffet of hardcore pornographic videos, was a possibility overnight. And then in 07, there was this little thing that came out called the iPhone that was a massive game changer in this, because then all of a sudden you have high-speed internet, to your iPhone. And so everybody has a personalized porn theater in their pocket or purse. And when you have, that amount of porn, the hardcore nature of it, but then you have that private access because of the technology. And when a person has private access, that is when an addiction, is cultivated. And so then when you combine all of those things with the susceptibility to addictions that the adolescent brain has, I mean, it's a perfect storm for just a significant amount of addiction. So, with that understanding, because a lot of people say, well, porn's been around for a long time and every generation just has to kind of deal with it, navigate it. But people who make that argument don't understand some of the differences that these, technologies have made, to really kind of bring this perfect storm for addiction. And so, as we look at the stats, the Barna Group did, a number of surveys 5 or 6 years ago that, basically showed that there was only a 1% difference between the Christian man and the non-Christian man in their monthly porn habit. The Christian man was, 64% of Christian men were consuming porn at least monthly or more. The non-Christian man, 65%. And so as we talk about, stats, unfortunately, it's about the same in the church versus outside the church. And then as we think about the younger, one of the patterns Barna's, study showed, not surprisingly, is that the younger the age group, the bigger the percentage of that age group is consuming porn. And so as we look at the younger generation, we did a study in 2019 of practicing Christian college students. So, these weren't just your you know, your typical frat star. But these were, you know, students who said their faith in Christ was very important to them. They were growing in their faith, plugged into a campus ministry. Many of them were in leadership. So of this group of growing Christian college students, 89% of the men said that they had viewed porn in the last 12 months. 61% said that they had viewed it at least weekly or more. 24% of this group of our future Christian fathers, spiritual leaders, pastors, said they were viewing porn daily or multiple times a day. One out of four. You know, and for the women, it's not just a man's problem, especially with the younger generation, but half of these women said that they had viewed porn over the last 12 months. Their frequency was much less. One in four were viewing it monthly or more. So, yeah, as we look at the how pervasive it is because of the technology, that, man, the younger the age group, man, the more likely they are struggling, whether they are following Christ or not.
Hmm. I know, if, I mean, for my own struggles and for guys that are close to me, we've all had our own battles with this. How do you even start in that fight, you know, against such a big problem?
Yeah. And, you know, and I think you bring up a good point, Dan, because one of the challenges with dealing with this is the whole area of shame. There's shame with any addiction, but particularly for the Christian who struggles with a porn or sex addiction, because it, you know, it violates us on a number of levels. And man, the shame can just multiply. And so that, what that causes is it causes people, you know, to deny, to minimize, to rationalize. Because, you know, as the scripture tells us in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Is that our heart deceives us, but also just the nature of sin. You know, Hebrews 3:13 says that we need to exhort one another day after day, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And so, you know, one is to recognize that, you know, I'm probably not being honest with the depth that I'm struggling. And so I think, you know, to answer your question, man, first beginning there and just recognizing, man, if I'm acknowledging to at least a degree that I've got a problem in this area, reality is probably, you know, much more than that. And so, man, just asking God to give you a heart to be honest with yourself, with him, with others, because we all know, you know, James tells us in chapter 5, verse 16, that the first step to freedom is confession. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. We have an enemy that wants to keep us in the shadows, that wants to keep us living in denial. But man, that first step to confess to a friend, a mentor, you know, somebody that you trust, man, is so huge. And so, you know, that really is the first step, is, man, that honesty piece and stepping out of the shadows, because it's a scary thing to do. And yet, man, it's so important.
Yeah, it really is scary. And you said something about the nature of this is more the heart. I think that's what I heard you say. Would you say, like, addictions like this are more just a symptom of areas of your heart that need healing rather than the core issue?
Yeah, you know, and I think there's a spectrum to that, because, you know, one of the things in our, you know, study of this topic and, you know, getting professionally trained and, you know, going through over 20 different porn addiction recovery programs, one of the things that's emerged is, you know, pretty clearly is, hey, there are six roots of a pornography addiction. And so, hey, maybe it starts off with curiosity, and then, hey, it becomes about the pleasure of sex. But when an addiction, you know, addiction experts tell us when an addiction goes deep is when a person starts taking their high, you know, from their drug, whether that's alcohol, whether that's drugs, whether it's porn. And they start taking the high they get from that, and they start medicating the pain and discomforts of their life. And, you know, as an example, if a man starts using, you know, porn to medicate the stress and anxiety he has at work, then all of a sudden, you know, and he's done that repeatedly, then all of a sudden, man, that stress or anxiety becomes the trigger, you know, for his porn habit. Because, you know, a lot of people, you know that, hey, dopamine is the pleasure chemical that our brain releases when we do something enjoyable that it wants us to remember and repeat. But what a lot of people don't realize is dopamine is not just released when we experience pleasure, but it's also released in the anticipation of pleasure, which is very important. So if I've been using porn to medicate my stress, next time I feel stressed, the brain releases dopamine to start the craving, because my brain starts moving into relief mode. Oh, I know where we can go to feel a whole lot better. And so it releases the dopamine to start the craving and to move us down that very familiar brain pathway. And a lot of guys will think, man, this huge urge to use porn just hit me out of nowhere. But when we kind of go back and look at it, they begin to understand, no, man, it's this emotional trigger, whether that's loneliness, you know, stress. To be honest, a really big one is boredom.
Yeah.
You know, boredom, you know, as we've looked at different surveys, that's one of the major ones, especially for guys on the younger end. It's like, hey, I'm bored. Hey, my brain wants some relief, wants something exciting. Well, hey, I know where we can go. And so again, if that has become the trigger, then all of a sudden, next time I'm really bored, man, that can begin to trigger in the brain to release dopamine that, hey, let's go down. Hey, I know the pathway that will break that boredom up. So it's really important to, view this really from a holistic lens that, man, there's an addicted brain aspect that, you know, is physical, but it's also connected to the emotions, and, you know, having a holistic approach is really important.
Yeah. So you mentioned those six roots, and you talked about a couple of them. Can you expound on that a little more, unpack that a bit?
Yeah. You know, the first root that we deal with is the most obvious. It's the sexualized society that, man, sex is everywhere. And so really, you know, training guys to understand their triggers, their arousal template, training guys to, and women to, have the perspective that Jesus, had when he said, hey, if your right eye causes you to stumble, cut it out, and throw it from you. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. And so really helping people to recognize that, especially at the beginning of the process and going on detox, and hey, what does that look like? And hey, I need to identify my triggers, because, you know, it's important, just like it is for an alcoholic to begin their recovery, that, man, hey, they stop the intake of the chemicals so they can kind of reset their brain. I mean, the same is true with pornography. It's like, hey, what's it going to take to go on detox? So the first root is sexualized society. The second is the addicted brain that we talked about. The third is the negative emotions. One of the things we do that with in our program, that we really help guys begin to identify their emotions, but then to be able to communicate, their emotions and begin to see, hey, what are the emotions that, man, are kind of indications that, man, I'm headed towards relapse? And one of the things that's really been cool, Dan, is we've been able to, train people to see a relapse coming from over a week away. Because when they start becoming emotionally aware, emotionally intelligent, they're like, man, hey, I've been exhausted, man, emotionally the last couple of days. If I don't, make an adjustment here, if I keep heading down this path, I know where it always ends. And that's a really important part. A fourth A fourth root of addiction is isolation, which, you know, this is, it's really a porn or sex addiction is categorized as an intimacy disorder. And, you know, one of the things about sex, one of the things about porn is, you know, it can be a source of fake intimacy. You know, the person who's, you know, pursuing, you know, the hookup culture or porn, man, there's a deeper desire and need for intimacy that, you know, porn is, it's not just about the sex, but there's a connection piece that gives it an extra draw. And so that's an important, you know, element for people to recognize that, you know, a lot of times I'll talk to guys and at one level, they really do want to quit. But in the other level, when they're honest, they don't want to give up the pleasure. They don't want to give up, man, what it's giving to them. Because think about it, it's, you know, pornography becomes a place where a person can go to feel accepted, to feel wanted, to feel significant, and to feel a sense of connection. And, you know,
and maybe it'd be just a subconscious thing. They may not even think that consciously.
Exactly. Well, and that's where most of this happens at the subconscious level, the brain stuff, the emotional stuff. And yeah, you're exactly right because, you know, and it's interesting because, you know, most of the time with porn, it's coupled with masturbation and orgasm. And one of the things that happens with orgasm is the body releases a huge amount of oxytocin. Oxytocin is the bonding chemical that, you know, God created for us to bond through skin to skin to contact. But it's particularly for couples that, you know, man, when they have sex and have orgasm, there is a deeper bonding that takes place. And when that happens, you know, when a person, you know, is watching porn and they're having this bonding, they begin to bond with certain video clips, certain actresses, you know, certain fantasies. And there is this emotional connection. You know, guys may look at all kinds of different clips, but hey, when it's time to get off, man, they come back to this one. And there's, hey, why is it that I'm, you know, connected here? And understanding the oxytocin piece, you know, is an important part. You know, therapists actually call this phenomenon dating porn. Because there's this emotional connection that, again, the vast majority of people would never, you know, be able to articulate and put their finger on. And yet that's one of the things that gives pornography, man, this insidious pull on a person's life is it's giving you more than you think. And you're looking to it for more than you think. And just on that emotional level. And unfortunately, when that happens, you know, with porn, man, it necessarily diminishes the capacity for that those kinds of connections in your real life with God, with spouse, with others. And so, man, that's part of the addiction piece with it.
Yeah, you mentioned the importance of connecting with emotions there about just being able to be aware of those and be able to process those. Like, how important is that? Is that, it sounds like one of the really key pieces is that skill.
Yeah, and it is, you know, and, you know, the research has been done that just when a person just verbally communicates their emotion that they're feeling, you know, they identify it and they verbalize it, just doing that actually diffuses the part of the brain that kind of puts us in the fight or flight mode. And it kind of, you know, it just kind of settles us. And so
it's even like if you're, you know, say it's 11 o'clock at night, you're like, man, I am angry, alone and hungry right now. Like, yes. Is that the kind of thing you're saying? Like, even if you don't absolutely call up a friend or anything?
Yeah. And, you know, and a lot of guys, you know, and we'll, you know, through our app, we have daily check-ins that, you know, guys will check in, but, you know, if a guy's in a group, we'll like, hey, make at least 3 phone calls a week, you know, and it, you know, a lot of times we'll say, hey, why don't we, for the next few weeks, man, why don't we make that a daily call? So sometimes it'll be a voice memo, but it's just, you know, 2 minutes or less, 60 seconds. Hey, man, I'm really kind of anxious about this work project. And man, I'm kind of, you know, feel myself wanting to medicate with, you know, some different media. And man, I know that usually leads to porn. Hey, be praying for me. But man, just that little, you know, 20 seconds to identify it, man, to reach out, to break isolation, man, just to kind of, you know, step outside of yourself, man, it's huge on multiple levels. And so, yeah, that, cause you know, there's a couple of, you know, elements with, you know, understanding our emotions. One is the emotional awareness that, hey, I can identify it. I can name it, which, man, is a huge first step. But then you've got the emotional intelligence piece, which, you know, the emotional intelligence is, hey, I can take this information and I can communicate it and I can learn to navigate, you know, my life and make adjustments. You know, to begin seeing, hey, I know if I continue down this path, I need to reach out, and because I know where it's going to end up. And, you know, hey, I need to be, you know, communicate certain things with my wife, or, you know, accountability or whatever that may be. And so, yeah, the emotional awareness and intelligence piece is really huge. And, you know, and Dan, man, being more emotionally intelligent, man, doesn't just help with overcoming a porn addiction, but it's essential for that. But man, and that's one of the things that we've seen through this process is as men and women learn these skills, man, it just makes them, you know, better, more fruitful people, makes their relationships deeper. It's like, hey, if somebody is more emotionally intelligent, man, they're able to have a deeper, more authentic relationship. They become better leaders. The emotionally intelligent person is a better leader than the person who isn't emotionally intelligent. So there's just a lot of blessings that, you know, come with, man, really addressing this issue, you know, from a holistic level.
I really like that piece. That, you know, something that the groups that I'm in really focus on is just that, hey, let's get over the shame. And just talk about, hey, like, how are you feeling? Because, you know, growing up, most of us guys were not intelligent about our emotions and a lot of other things. Yeah. And, you know, just being able to, even as small groups of men, you know, both within and without, outside of the church, saying, hey, I feel emotions deeply as a man. Like, yeah, I'm not always going to talk about them. We may need to go for a hike or go on a fishing trip or something to be able to talk about our emotions, but we need to do this as men, because we still have hearts. We still have feelings. We still are impacted by our daily experience, and we feel that.
Yeah.
Whether or not we can name it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as we look at the book of Psalms, man, we see the warrior king, King David, very manly, man, the giant slayer. And one of the things that we really see in the book of Psalms is a man who's processing his emotions with God. You know, as you look at Psalm 139, 23 and 24, he says, search me and know me, you know my anxious thoughts and see if there is any hurtful way in me and lead me in the everlasting way. And so, you know, if you look at that, it's like, man, David, this warrior king, was feeling anxiety. He didn't really know where it was coming from, but he said, God, I want you to search me and see if this anxiety is connected to something hurtful in me. And so he recognized that, hey, when there's a negative emotion, it's kind of like the check engine light on the car. Yeah. It's like, hey, I need to check it. You know, I like to press my luck with the check engine light. It's like, I'm sure it'll go off here in a minute. And a lot of times that's how we can, you know, treat our emotions. And yet, you know, in the book of Psalms, and, you know, that example in 139, and it's just a great example of, hey, there's something going on. Hey, let me get it out. I don't know exactly what it is, but hey, let me get it out. Get it out to God, get it out to others. I mean, begin to process it. If we don't, we're going to be blindsided by our emotions, and we're going to be doing things and reacting to our emotions instead of leading our emotions.
I like the analogy of the check engine light as a owner of an older Land Rover. That is a frequent occurrence of, okay, what is that on for this time? And can I ignore it?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my oil light is on. Is that the oil sensor or is it actually a problem? And, you know, so and our emotions are more complex than that of, okay, is this a actual problem that I need to address, or is it something that, you know, maybe it's just something I ate today, or, you know, and that prayer of David of search me and let, you know, God, let me know, is this check engine light really something that we need to worry about right now?
Yeah.
It's a really effective method. I really like that a lot.
There's
another tool that you mentioned in your book, and your program, the BRACE method. Can you talk about that, how that works a bit?
Yeah. And really, you know, before I mention that, just a, you know, kind of a precursor to understand, you know, a little bit about the addicted brain is, you know, there's two major parts of the brain that, you know, there's a lot of parts. Two I'll mention here. One is the limbic system and the other is the prefrontal cortex. The limbic system is what's called, you know, by some people, the survival brain or the emotional brain. This is where we fight or flight. And so this is kind
of you with toddlers in the audience know that limbic system quite well.
Yeah. It's like, man, it's that emotional part of your brain that just takes over. And man, you touch something and it doesn't think, it reacts. And then you've got the prefrontal cortex, which is the front part of your brain. This is where we make emotional or logical decisions. Not emotional decisions, logical decisions, it's where we have impulse control. This is where we make decisions in light of our morals. This is the part of the brain that isn't fully developed until we're 25, which is why they won't let you rent a car till then. They don't trust you.
Rightfully so.
Yes. So these are our brakes. And so, you know, it's interesting when somebody is using an addictive substance, and they've actually done brain scans with heroin users and porn users. When somebody's using heroin or they're using porn, this part of the brain, they've actually measured it. It actually shrinks, the gray matter in the brain. And so your ability to say no to yourself when a person is regularly using porn diminishes. In this part of the brain, so when a person is triggered, man, the limbic system begins to take over because it goes into relief mode. It's like survival. Oh, we're stressed? Well, I know where we can go to feel a whole lot better. And it releases dopamine. Hey, let's go down this porn pathway. So with that understanding that, man, the limbic system has learned to overpower and override the prefrontal cortex on a regular basis, that's where we have developed BRACE. And BRACE, you know, and we talked about this a little bit, you know, yesterday, is it's not enough just to avoid the old pathway, but we have to build new pathways. It's not repress only, but it's replace. And, you know, because if you're like, well, hey, I don't want to look at porn, I don't want to look at porn, you got to build a new pathway. And so what we you know, train people to do is when they're triggered emotionally, physically, you know, whatever, when they're triggered, you know, towards sex or fantasy or porn or whatever it might be, you know, we, you know, in a negative way, we begin to, you know, teach them the BRACE method. The first step is breathe deeply. You know, the Navy SEALs teach a, you know, technique called combat breathing, and it's helping them get more oxygen to the prefrontal cortex, because you have to imagine a Navy SEAL, their limbic system, the fight or flight, is going crazy. And so they have to, through getting more oxygen to the brain, they have to make sure their prefrontal cortex is engaged. And so breathing deeply, secondly, remember the truth. And so that's where we teach people to remember a promise from Scripture, you know, something that will, again, engage the prefrontal cortex that, hey, you know, the pure in heart will see God. The man, hey, my personal purity impacts my relationship with Christ. And so, man, engaging that, you know, could be another passage about who we are in Christ. Ask God for help. Lord, help me to believe this truth. Lord, help me to reach out, because the next step is call, accountability. And so reaching out, whether that's through a text, whether it's through, you know, calling somebody. And then the E, embrace, is escape the situation. And so, you know, really, as we, you know, think about, you know, that, you know, process, it's really built on brain science and then four biblical principles of, man, I need to renew my mind with the truth. And, man, I need to ask God for help. I need to reach out for help with others. And I need to leave the situation, because the old pathway is, hey, I'm triggered sexually. Man, I'm not even going to, you know, think about, you know, I'm just going to kind of think about, hey, the dopamine and what's coming. That's where my mind is. Instead of moving towards other people for help, I move towards isolation. Okay, I'm going to my room with my phone. I'm going to the bathroom with my phone. I'm going, you know, somewhere to get private access. And instead of leaving isolation, I'm moving towards isolation. And so, you know, in a really simple way, you know, because that would, you know, somebody can go through that whole process in 60 seconds. Man, I'm starting to breathe. While I'm still breathing, I'm meditating on the scripture. Man, I'm asking God to help me believe it, to act on it. Hey, I'm picking up my phone. I'm calling my friend. Hey, man, I'm triggered right now. Be praying for me. You know, and then I'm going to a public place instead of staying in isolation. So it's, you know, it's been a very powerful, you know, tool on many levels, on the brain science level, on, hey, renewing my mind with scripture, on building this new pathway so that this trigger to use porn that has led, you know, hundreds, maybe thousands of times to the same place, I'm building a new pathway. And so all of a sudden, a trigger can actually be an opportunity to get a new repetition of this new pathway. Because here's an important principle. Repetition got you into the addiction, and repetition will help get you out. Repetition of a new pathway. And so really having that perspective, it's really been a game changer for a lot of people, because it's really a way to, you know, live out Romans 12:2, that transformation happens by renewing the mind. And we know that renewing the mind happens by building new pathways. And so that's been a really powerful tool for a lot of people.
Yeah, that definitely, definitely resonates with, you know, everything I learned about neuroscience, and just kind of thinking about, you know, kind of my own situations of like, yeah, that would be super helpful. And so looking forward to practicing that and hoping that others listening will as well. I know you have a ton of resources out there. You have an online program, you got a book coming out. Can you talk about some of those and what people can find in there?
Yeah, absolutely. So we, on our website, thefreedomfight.org, we have a free online program. We have a 30-day challenge, you know, that is an email-based program. You know, it's video based. And then we have our online, it's a 6-month program. We encourage people to go through it in small groups. You know, Dan, as you did, somebody can begin it as an individual, and we'll coach you up on how to get accountability, because nobody gets free on their own. And so, yeah, a lot of resources. And we came out with our book. I came out with my book in November. You know, and it's really geared towards equipping, you know, the body of Christ, both the person who's a struggler, but also the person who wants to help the struggler, who wants to get equipped, because this is such an important issue in the church, Dan, that it doesn't need to be just considered a recovery issue, but it needs to be a discipleship issue. And we need more people equipped. We need moms equipped so they can help their kids. We need dads equipped so they can help their kids. Because here's the bottom line. If we want to do what Jesus told us to do and make disciples, man, the next generation is even more addicted than our generation at a whole new level. And so, man, if we want to be effective at helping them, hey, let's pursue freedom, not just for ourselves, but man, for that next generation that's coming in behind us. Because, you know, our program, my book is also called The Freedom Fight. You can get it on our website or on Amazon. We also have the Kindle version, the Audible version. But, you know, the important, you know, thing is, hey, it's not just freedom, but God wants to give us freedom so we can run the race that he's given us to run. You know, as he talks about in Hebrews 12:1, that, and so I want to encourage men in particular to have a vision, man, to pursue freedom for themselves, for their spouse, for their family, but also for that next generation, because, man, the next generation is going to be so much more addicted than ours.
Yeah, it's a really important thing to remember in any kind of behavior change you're looking to do is you got to have a purpose behind it. You got to have a really strong one for especially these deeply rooted neural pathways. You got to have a very strong purpose of why you're doing it in the first place. So I like what you're saying about just, hey, if nothing else, you know, remember this for your kids, for your wife, for your community. You know, if you're single, it's really a powerful thing to have that driving force behind it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Man, I just want to say thanks for having the courage to step into this arena for the decades that you have, and especially into the church and talking about the necessity of not just discipleship, not just counseling, not just restoration of the heart, but spiritual warfare as well, like all of those main areas. And I'm glad you do that holistic approach, and you know, more people could really use that type of a particular area of struggle. So just thank you from the bottom of my heart, really, because this is a huge thing for so many men and their families.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and Dan, it's been great to be with you. And I think you know, hit on an important point, you know, and I try to unpack it a little bit more in my book, is the whole spiritual warfare dynamic that, and again, man, it's happening at a level that most church leaders don't recognize, or if they did, man, they're not talking about it, because, you know, the statistics tell us that 7% of pastors say their church has a resource or something to help their people, you know, in this area. And yet, man, the spiritual warfare that's taking place, man, the attack of shame, you know, man, that's just sidelining so many men and more increasingly women from, man, service in the kingdom, because they're like, man, hey, God's done with me, or they're believing lies that, man, the enemy has used, you know, porn to get a stronghold in their life. And so we need to understand the spiritual warfare, you know, dynamic. So I appreciate you and your program and your willingness to get this out. Cause yeah, this isn't a topic that, you know, a lot of people want to talk about in the church. And so I appreciate your courage for, you know, being willing to put it out there.
Thanks. Well, I'm looking forward to see what people, you know, what resonates with them. So if you have some comments on this, you know, keep it civil, of course, but we would love to hear, you know, how this resonates with you and how, you know, you're finding freedom. And if you want a group of guys to get together to go through the freedom fight, shoot me a message on Instagram, or I'm sure, you know, Ted's team is, you know, got some ways to get a hold of them on their website. But, you know, don't go through this alone. I think both of us would say, make sure that you know, grab a buddy, grab a trusted friend or your pastor and say, hey, you know, take that first step. You're like, I'm struggling with this. you're a guy, I know you at least have struggled with it, if you don't still. You know, I believe like there's two kinds of men out there, those who have struggled with porn and those who are those who will admit yeah. they've struggled with it, and those who are liars. Everybody has struggled with it at some level. If you're male.
Everybody has a porn story.
Yeah, and so that means you're never alone, and that can be that first step out of that shame spiral. So I really appreciate your time today, Ted, and looking forward to getting this out there and seeing more men just walk in freedom towards what God has for them in their lives. So really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and we didn't get to the last two roots, shame and trauma, but I did want to mention those. Of course, we unpack those in the book and the program. And
Have to have you back and unpack some more.
Well, if your listeners have questions, feel free to maybe we can answer some of the audience questions next time as well. All right. Thanks, Dan. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us today on the Anthem of the Adventurer. Make sure that you subscribe to our email list to get all of our updates on theanthemoftheadventurer.com. Like us and follow us on Instagram and Pinterest to get all of the visual updates, and keep an eye out for the updated blog and website coming out in May. If you're looking for some more resources to keep your adventures going, check out our tribe on Facebook, the Anthem of the Adventurer Tribe, or our friends over at the Adventure Challenge. You can use the code DAN10 at checkout to get 10% off your order for a really amazing book full of challenges for you and your family. Go out and live your adventure.